Welcome to Business of Design. Business of Design is the world's best business training for interior design professionals like you. The Business of Design podcast offers immediate, actionable strategies and a glimpse into some of the many field-tested, proven systems you can implement to transform your business and your life. After the show, head to businessofdesign.com and get started with the BOD 15-step project management strategy and 6 foundational programs. Together, they deliver the systems, procedures, and strategies you need to run a successful, highly profitable design business. There's no theory here. The complete BOD business model is yours through Business of Design membership. Business of Design. There's only one. And now, your BOD Advocate-in-Chief, Kimberly Selden.
Hello, you fabulous interior design professionals. So good to see you. Well, I can't see you, but you can see me if you're watching this on YouTube. And if you're just listening, I'm having a fabulous hair day. If you're watching, you know that isn't true, but that's okay. We can suspend reality here just a minute. We're going to have a great conversation with a lovely guest named Darcy Gutwine. She is a seasoned world traveler, and she has a passion for lifestyle improvement, and she spent a couple of decades focusing on hotel living. And specifically, she's written a book called Hotels to Home, and it's all about those things that we can take from amazing hotel experiences that will allow us to elevate the lifestyle we're living or the lifestyle our clients want to live. And we had a great conversation. I came away with a couple of important thoughts, and you'll hear them in the conversation, but she refers to the foyer, the entranceway, as a portal into what is to come. And I love that idea. Like, how beautiful is that? That this is like announcing where we're going to go. And I have a presentation in a week. I'm definitely going to sneak that into the presentation when we get to the foyer. I'm going to talk about this portal. She also talks about front of house lobby and back of house lobby. And that's happening at this presentation as well. There's the foyer that everybody comes through, or the foyer, depending on where you live, or the entrance hall, depending on where you live. There's this foyer that people come through, and then to the right, we're going to take an office space that's not been used and is never going to get used, and we are converting it into a back of house mudroom for the family. But the key is the back of house mudroom for the family has to be just as beautiful and organized as the foyer, because why should you step into a chaotic, ugly space just because it's just for your family? So I'm very excited about this for clients. We are taking a window out and putting a door there, and it's going to be a big surprise for them when we make this recommendation. It's one of the things I love at presentations, is being able to surprise the client and have them go like, oh my gosh, we hadn't thought of that. That'll be really, really fun. During this conversation, Darcy also talks about the importance of checking in with clients on their happy moments, their blissful moments, the things that delight them in their home. And she gives the experience of her husband really wanting a particular type of cereal bowl. And I completely understand that. I am such a pickle. I know exactly what kind of bowl I want to eat out of. I know exactly the type of coffee mug I want to drink from. I don't like drinking from coffee mugs that aren't this particular, like, really thin, fine porcelain. I just don't like the feeling of a chunky mug. And I just finished a project with a client who loves a big, chunky pottery mug. And I'm like, ugh, I don't know how you can drink out of this. And she's like, ew, I don't know how you can drink out of your dainty little cups. So it's about, in Darcy's words, it's about honoring what your clients want and are excited about. She also talks about checking in with them on a recent vacation they've had, or a vacation they've had where they love the hotel, and what was it about the hotel? And for example, one of her friends talked about the towel warmer, not an incredibly expensive item to include in the home if it's going to make that big of a difference to you. I also am just, this made me think of this, this episode made me think of a book that I just finished reading called The Book of Delights, and it's by a poet named Ross Gay. I can't recommend this book enough. I heard a podcast about this delights, the topic of delight and being delighted by things. I think it was This American Life. I'm pretty sure it was This American Life. And I'm pretty sure it was called The Podcast of Delights. Can't recommend that enough either. But this idea that, you know, you wake up in the morning, and I go and my husband makes me coffee. So that's delightful right away. But he puts it in my favorite coffee mug. and I sit, if it's cold out, I turn on the fire in the living room and I sit down and I have this cup of coffee, the first coffee of the day, in front of the fireplace. And I'm telling you, I could not be more delighted. So if you haven't considered what delights you, I can't recommend this book enough. Book of Delights, Ross Gay is his name. Lovely, lovely, lovely. And I hope wherever you are, whatever's happening in your life, it is filled with moments of delight. That's what I wish for you. And that's what I wish for Cheryl Horn, too, who's got some announcements for us. We're really glad you're here. We'll get right into the episode.
Thanks, Kimberly. Well, tomorrow, March 20th, 1 p.m. EST is our next BOD Live, and we're going to be talking about Trade Day. So this is one of the steps that I get a lot of questions on, so we want to make sure that that process is very clear. So make sure, I know it's happening tomorrow, but if you are a member, make sure that you take Step 3, Trade Day, in the BOD 15 program, and then join us live. Of course, if you haven't just taken the course, many of you have taken it a long time ago. It's always great to do it as a refresher, but you are more than welcome to join. If you are brand new to Business of Design, welcome. Our year is off to a great start in terms of welcoming new members. This is a great chance to connect with your fellow members and make sure you get clarity around running a successful, rather, trade day. Super important start to the project. So make sure you join us for that. And then details are not on the website yet, but please save the date. Join us at High Point on Saturday, October 26th. We're going to have a full day of hanging out with Business of Design at High Point. We are celebrating 20 years of Business of Design, and I am so honored to be part of 17 of those years. It's been an amazing journey, and I'm so excited to connect face to face with members. I get to talk to so many of you and email with you every week, and I'm so excited to finally put some faces with the names that I have gotten to know over these many, many years. So again, save the date, October 26th. Join Business of Design at High Point. As soon as details are available on our website, we will be sure to let you know. But everything we do at Business of Design, head to businessofdesign.com. Reach out to me anytime with your questions, cheryl@businessofdesign.com, and we look forward to connecting with you and seeing you in person this year. Thanks so much.
Hey, Darcy, nice to talk to you. How are you?
Oh, I'm well. Thank you for having me on. I'm excited to talk about things.
Well, I am too, and I think you've decided not to use your video today because you've been battling a cold for a couple of weeks or some nonsense like that. Remember colds, everybody.
Correct.
You're feeling better
Use
though?
your sanitary wipes. Yes, I'm feeling better, and thank you so much.
I'm so glad. And you're in Colorado. And but we decided that we figured out rather that our daughters live not too far from each other in Los Angeles, which is very cool.
I know, I love small world stories. I feel like we're all connected.
Well, I think that's more than a feeling. I think that's a real thing, right? That's a real, real thing. And we're also connected in this way. Darcy's written a very cool book, and it is called Hotels to Home: Living the Luxury Hotel Lifestyle at Home. Well, that sounds lovely. As a consumer, I want to live that lifestyle at home for sure. But what we're really going to focus on today is what are the things that you have learned, Darcy, from exploring this avenue of learning that might translate into helpful information for those of us who decorate homes and build homes for clients. So, what's so great about hotel living and why should we pay attention?
Well, I think hotel living itself is exemplary, right? You have an industry that has been around for hundreds of years, and it takes care of people. It is the hospitality industry. And so what I like about it and why I used it as a template for me and for my lifestyle was because I figured they probably perfected it, right? They got about 100 years doing this, or a couple hundred years. And so how can I take that home and use it against maybe my personal lens? So I feel like when we say we're doing and working with hotels to home living concepts, we're actually using the hotels as the experts, but ourselves as the curators and the purveyors of what we really want at home. So if you think about this and you're working with some clients, ask them perhaps about their vacations, because what's very interesting about this is we not only have the hotels as experts, but we are also deciding each time we plan a vacation what we like, what is important to us. And let's face it, sometimes that's hours of research. It's a lot of resources, depending on how much you spend. And at any rate, you're spending something, right? So when you look to hotels, you have already decided, wow, I am putting time and money towards this. It must have some meaning. But how many of us go on that vacation, have a great time, walk into our own homes, and we aren't happy with our daily life? We aren't happy with our own homes.
Or that feeling you get as you walk through, that feeling you get as you walk through the front door, that's kind of missing.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I talk to a lot of people who aren't happy in their homes, and a lot of it is because they're not listening to themselves. So if you just look to your travels, that's one aspect on how to listen to yourself, right? Because when you plan that trip, whether it's a one-star trip or five, you are deciding what is important to you. So take that back to your house, take that back to your daily living. And when I say 1 to 5 star living, I'm serious about that. I don't think everything in the hotels to home lifestyle needs to be all glitz and glamour, all champagne and roses. And let me give you an example of that. I was speaking with a young woman, and she was building a new home and talking about her bathroom. Mm-hmm. And she said, I think I want this. I think I want that. And I said, can you just answer one question for me? Those nice bathrooms that you visited when you were on vacation, when you were in hotels, what was your favorite thing about them? Without hesitation, she said towel warmers. Interesting, yeah. Towel warmers were not even in her plan.
Right.
So this is not a huge architectural decision we're making here, but it was something that would bring her joy every day. She already knew it, by the way. That's what's fun about hotels to home. All she had to do was listen to herself. And it was one question at a party, mind you, right? This wasn't some kind of consulting extravaganza.
Yeah.
I mean, it was just a party over cocktails.
I love warmers.
So it can be as simple as that.
I love the idea that you would just ask that simple question. Let's start with a foyer, because to me, I kind of know the minute I walk through the entrance doors of the hotel how I'm going to be feeling about my experience. I'm a pickle. I've stayed at really amazing places, so I'll just put that out there. I've also stayed at, I remember the last time I stayed at like a 3-star, and I could hear the guy in the room beside me snoring, and I thought, no, I'm done with that. I'm over this. So that ain't happening anymore. So, but that feeling you get when you walk in the door, it's part awe, because everything looks sort of perfect in a great hotel. It's part a sensory experience, because I found at least great hotels often smell good, and they have a lot of beautiful curated visual temptations, flowers. Maybe you can see in the corner the bakery that's open in the morning only. Like, there's just some beautiful sensory experiences. So what about the foyer in particular could we be asking our clients that could translate into every room in their home?
Well, and I think I call it hotel lobbies, and I think we have our own hotel lobbies. We have many times we have two. One that guests enter through, and then the other is our own personal entryway. And
back of house.
back of house. I cannot tell you, though, how much I love a hotel lobby. Like, everything you just said sings to me. Yeah. I think they're portals, right? They're portals to say you've arrived, and you're probably in a different space than where you began. And really, if you think about it, this is the space we find ourselves coming and going through most days. So I think it needs to be reflective of our desires. And hotels have so much to teach us here, because while they may differ vastly in brand, they all create lobbies with the same intention: entice a guest to stay. Mm-hmm. And think of all those sensory pleasures you just had, right? I didn't want to walk out of that lobby you were describing. That was exciting to me. So this just begs the question, though, shouldn't we have entryways that entice us to stay in our own homes?
I love the term. I love the idea of the portal, because it really, if you kind of brought that home and said to yourself, is this entranceway a portal to the experience the guest is going to have in my home, or the family member is going to have in my home? I bet you there would be some interesting answers to that.
I believe so. And I also think they might be surprised at what they hear themselves saying. I have found very organized individuals walking into a personal entryway of mayhem.
Yeah.
Well, that is probably not a good, a warm welcome.
Right.
So, and then also, I think sometimes we forget the entryway. Perhaps it's an often overlooked space. And I would say you're starting and ending there. So mm-hmm. I find it a very important space for somebody's well-being and their psyche. I was guilty of this too. I like a very clean and organized home. However, my personal entryway became almost stark or cold.
Yeah.
And to know me and to know our family, that's not what you would find inside. So mm-hmm. all of a sudden, this lobby that I have isn't enticing me to stay, nor, by the way, is it getting me excited about what's to come.
Right.
And I also like that piece of it too, right? It's a portal, but then it's also putting all these ideas in your head of what's to come, what's inside. Let's open the door a little bit further.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had to warm up my personal lobby area. And you know what? It didn't take all that much, but I really put some effort into making sure when we walked in, it felt like I wanted somebody, myself included, to feel when I walked into that home.
Yeah.
So
I love too that what you said is true. They don't usually cost a lot of money because they're usually not very big, but there are some key elements that can be transformative. And I really appreciated what you said about paring it down to the point that it's just stark and unwelcoming. Like that, I've seen that so many times. For those listening who get hired by clients, which is, I guess, everybody, sometimes, you know, we'll get hired to do, because clients are nervous. They haven't worked with us before. They want to test this out. They'll say, we want you to do the living room and the dining room kind of thing. And there's the foyer adjacent and they want to ignore it. You can't really ignore it. It's a really important area. So it's our job to explain that to the clients. And I think using some of the language that you've given us today, Darcy, the portal is so smart. And then in terms of treating that room almost like a teaser to what you're going to find is mm-hmm. so smart. But those common elements, I would say great lighting, almost always, a foyer always has multiple sources of light, and they're usually interesting light sources, whether that's the chandelier and pendants or the sconces or whatever, not just a hag light overhead, a pot light overhead. That's kind of a miss. Wallpaper or wall treatment, because usually they're small spaces. You don't stay in them a long time. So I tend to do things a little bit more dramatic in a foyer or an entrance hall than I would, for example, in the living room, if you're going to spend a lot of time there. So, and then an area carpet to dampen noise, to, you know, stop the dirt from coming into your house. Like those are kind of some key things to think about, right?
Absolutely. And I think that you can make the lobby easily complement the other rooms without the big expenditure, or go all out. I've got a fantastic foyer that, you know what, if we have a party, the guest lobby, I would call it, we roll up the carpet, we move the tables, and guess that's where we dance.
Yeah.
Right? So you can make it whatever is going to be meaningful to you. It was funny because I actually focused on the guest entryway a little bit more than I did my personal entryway.
Mm-hmm.
I would probably flip that now because I think I would have a better understanding of the value of the lobby and the meaning behind the lobby had I started with our personal entryway first. I didn't, though. I did probably what a lot of your clients did. Let's design those front rooms. Let's entice people to stay.
Right.
Let's get them excited about being in my home. But all three rooms in my home, so the foyer, the dining room, and the great room, they do all have some common elements that tie together. And I like that because, again, it's that teaser of what you're going to find inside.
Mm-hmm. It's so funny that you said that because you're so right. Often there's a formal entrance or foyer and it's beautiful. They spent money on it. It's gorgeous. And then you come in through the garage into a mudroom that is pure chaos. And you think these people come through this door every single day. And the message is, it's not important to be organized or thoughtful in the space. It's a dumping ground for anything and everything. So there are backpacks everywhere. There's Amazon packages everywhere. There's dirty boots. There's everything back there. And then because you go through that entrance so much, your friends start using that entrance too. And suddenly you have this foyer that's nobody's going through. That's
Right.
such a pity. Yeah, you're so right. It kind of reminds me of that phenomenon of if you're young parents and if you've got kids and you're going to decorate the house, you decorate the kids' rooms. And then maybe you do the living room and the kitchen, but your own primary bedroom is last. And I have always said if I could go back in time, I would have done my primary bedroom first because I'm the one who needs the nurturing. My kids don't care what their room looks like when they're 1, 2, and 3 years old. They just don't, but I do. So it's too bad I kept that back for myself.
Absolutely. And I would encourage that. I mean, you're there every day. What better way to punctuate it, right? I'd like to wake up to something beautiful and auspicious, and I like to go to sleep to sweet dreams. And so a room makes all the difference in that. And also you mentioned about the raising babies and the younger kids. A parent needs good sleep, right? I mean, no doubt, a parent needs to
Right.
have good sleep behind them in order to be the best parent they can be. So I
Right.
would agree with you. Start with yourself and then shine that light on your kids.
Yeah, when you can. That could be phase two, that could be phase three. They can live with leftover furniture. They won't care. They can decorate their own room, for goodness sakes, for years and years. But
Right.
it is funny how many times we've done children's bedrooms, and then sometimes we've redone the kids' bedrooms because they're older and they're in a different phase and they no longer like Pokemon or whatever the thing was. We've redone the kids' bedrooms and we still haven't done the parents' primary bedrooms. And I just really try to encourage people to rethink that. So you've got this lobby experience, which is a portal. I love that. Then obviously you've got your bedroom. So what about the hotel bedroom experience might we be missing in our own client projects?
I do think bed and sheeting is important. I can't understate that at all because I feel like that is where you rest your head, and good sheeting is a worthy investment. I think look at all the senses for your clients when you're in that room. So, how does it smell? Is there light that intrudes? Are there electronics that are intruding a good night's sleep? And I would say I do everything to make it a good night's sleep. Really, I think about the sleeping part of it. And how I wake up and how I go to bed. So I like to walk into something that has clean lines and is organized. That is my preference. I also love a ton of pillows. There can't be enough pillows. That brings me some type of peace when I walk in. So for me, and that's a Darcy style, but everyone has their own style. And again, let's go back to hotels. This is their business. You know, I had a friend, she went to a posh New York hotel. Best sleep her husband and her ever had. They actually ripped off the sheets, flipped the mattress, and ordered one before they even left the city to come back home.
Well, I think a lot of
That's how
hotels
much they
sell their
liked it.
mattresses now, right? They sell them.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Yeah.
that's
There's a
one of
lot of
those.
hotel retail.
Yeah, that's one of those things there's very few things I want the clients to pick out in a project. I like to pick everything, but a mattress I think is really important because what feels comfortable to me and what feels comfortable to them is something different. So that's one of the things I encourage my clients to go and buy. But in terms of bedding and sheeting, you know, we will sometimes overhear a design professional saying, you know, that the project's on a budget. And so they're going to go to IKEA or wherever and buy sheets. And I'm like, good God, no. I don't care what the budget is. Quality sheets that you sleep in every single night are so important. And I remember the first set of really good sheets and a duvet that I bought. It was so expensive. We just got married. I couldn't believe I was spending this much money. And you know what? 25 years later, they still were beautiful. They were still stunningly beautiful and serviceable. So they're not going to fall apart. You don't have to change them all the time, but spend money on good quality sheets, I would say.
Yeah, I think again, where you rest your head is so important. And, you know, good sleep means probably a happier disposition. Just a thought. I'm not a scientist, but.
I think, yeah. So the clients will actually be happy to pay your bills because they're sleeping on a good bed. Well, I don't want to leave behind
Absolutely.
anything that touches the client on a regular basis that they're going to be annoyed with or think isn't quality. And when you're thinking about as a design professional, your brand, most people don't start out and think my brand is IKEA. Now, some do, and there's nothing wrong with IKEA if you're dealing with young families. budget projects. There's absolutely nothing wrong with IKEA shelves, and in fact, the LAC shelves we use all the time. But I draw the line at those things the client will touch and feel every single day. So sheets, a mattress, pillows, those are all high priority items that you need to spend a little bit more money on. End tables, who cares? No one's sitting on it.
Well, and I don't know that my husband can live without the proper bowl for cereal.
Right.
Like, it's something even like that. That's so important to him. And
Yeah.
I'm like, a bowl is a bowl. But for him, it has to have, I don't know, some kind of like depth wide ratio. And I'm not going to go into it, but it really matters to him. Well, guess
Like
what?
your
He has
husband.
cereal. He has cereal a couple of times a week. Why would I begrudge that? Why would
Right.
I say we're not going to get those bowls? Have the darn bowls. I mean, oh my gosh, I want you to be happy. But
I'm
like you said,
totally
everything you
on board.
touch.
Yeah, I'm totally on board with that. My coffee cups, I do not like drinking out of a mug that's too thick. It has to be a thin edge that I'm sipping from. Otherwise, I'm like, ugh, grossed out. So it's good to home into these details when you're asking your clients what's important to you. What are the things in your kitchen, for example, that give you delight, and your husband would say the right cereal bowl.
Right. And it is about listening, isn't it? And but it's also about them listening to themselves. I do find that people don't ask themselves always the right questions. So when you're talking with your clients, I would, certainly ask them perhaps your typical questions and then ask them something that is off the beaten path, like a favorite vacation or, their favorite part of the morning or their favorite part of the evening. And you can just build something around that. Entire spaces can be built around that. We talked about lobbies, and I don't mean to jump back, but one thing that we found both personal lobby and guest lobby, and we also use it on different floors in the house, is what we call a hospitality hub or a hydration station. And I think these are just so important to have. It makes hosting and guesting easier. I also love having water at the ready. And to your point about the coffee mug, I love a teacup. And my teacups are at my morning beverage station. So I already know I'm going to use that fine china. I love it. I'm going to use it every day.
So good. I love this conversation. I can't let you go without asking you, do you have a few favorite hotels that you want to recommend?
I don't typically do that. I think that hotel visits are very fluid. It depends where you are in your life. And what's important to you. So hotels that I really appreciated when my children were younger, to hotels that I appreciate more when they're older or when it's just my husband and I traveling. I just think that my tastes change and what's important to me might change. I used to like a lot of, for instance, hustle and bustle and activity. And now I'm probably more interested in hushed tones. Like you said, not hearing the person snore in the room next to me, not hearing the partygoers come home. I just, that isn't as interesting to me anymore. It used to be. I used to love it
Yeah.
and had a lot of fun in, very enlivened hotels, but it has changed a little bit for me. It also depends where we're going to, I think, but it is fluid. And also, let's talk about that as it relates to your clients. Tastes are fluid too. Remember that it is okay to have something important yesterday that is not as important today. And so, if you hear them talking about things in the past, I would really start guiding them more to the future. It's okay to change. It's also okay, and I don't want to get off this call without saying this, to be yourself and to have your design reflect you and not what's culturally prescribed.
Yeah, I mean, your home at a minimum should be exactly that, very personal.
Well, I had a family who decided the dining room wasn't for them,
Yeah.
and they put a billiards table in their dining room.
Right.
They couldn't be happier.
Yeah. We love to end every episode with something called design intervention. It's just a great piece of advice you want to leave the listeners with.
I think a lot of design has to do with honor. It's I've mentioned listening many times, but I think it's a lot about honoring personal preferences and then finding out those family personal preferences too. So not if you're solo, fine, but you can also cohabitate and find a beautiful ground where you're meeting personal preferences. So much like that family with the billiards table, they were They wanted a sports bar. They didn't want a dining room. Yeah. And, you know, that is perfect for them. And it brought them closer to as a family. I think design can really lead to family bonding. I believe that. And there are so many ways to do it. And I just think, you know, if you honor yourself, you honor the family as who they are, the household that they want to be, they will end up bonding. I often call hotels to home my family's love language. It's because we don't know another way to live. We've had this for two decades, but we all understand each other. We all have a common ground with it. And I think that that's really nice and will bond us for a lifetime.
Beautiful thoughts. I love this concept of focusing on honor and honoring your clients' wishes, honoring their personality, honoring their budget. You know, you can just take that into every aspect of working with clients. There's nothing more personal than being a design professional in someone's space and helping them create that home that gets them where they want to be. And we often say, you know, we're not selling furniture. We're selling Friday nights in front of the fireplace playing a board game or having a pool game in the dining room, whatever. So I thank you for the reminder. I think that I'm going to take that away and just make sure that I'm checking with my clients and see how they're feeling. And are they feeling that we're capturing the spirit of what they want to capture? Great conversation, Darcy.
Thank you so much. I enjoyed it.
Thanks for listening and supporting the BOD mission to improve the industry one design business at a time. If you're ready to implement an exact business model for running a streamlined, profitable business, field tested by thousands of design professionals around the world, head to businessofdesign.com and get started today. It's time to dramatically improve your business and transform your life.